The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Saturday, September 19th, 2015.
Dear friends, feel free to move closer if you would like. Also, if you would take out the handouts that you received when you entered. I know that many of you have been in Temple quite a lot over the course of the past week, and there's more to come. And you may be a little tired of being talked at, so we're going to do a little bit of study together this morning. This, as we've said, is the special Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, known as Shabbat Shuvah, which derives its name from the Haftarah, specifically from two lines from Hosea and Micah. If you take a look at the panel in the handout, beneath the words Shabbat Shuvah 5776, you'll be able to follow along with me as I read those two specific lines. Shuvah Yisrael, return, O Israel, to Adonai your God, for you have fallen because of your sin. That's Hosea. Yashuv Yirachamenu, God will take us back in love. That's Micah. And you can see the repetition of the Hebrew root shuv, which means return. The prophets promise us that if we make the effort to return to God and to the godly within each of us, then God will welcome us home in love. The message is clearly one of encouragement for these special days of self-reflection and renewal. But returning, or repenting, as shuv is also translated, isn't so easy. Often we don't even know where to begin. So let's read text number 2 about Israel of Rizin, or Ruzin, who lived in the early 19th century. Israel of Rizin possessed a quality that made him especially appealing to his people, a sense of humor. A man once said to him, "Rebbe, I so wish to repent, but I don't know what to do." The Reisner Rebbe answered, "And to sin, you knew what to do?" "Yes, but that was easy. First I sinned, and then I knew." "Exactly. Now do the same the other way around. Start by repenting. You'll know later." So I ask you, what is the Reisner Rebbe's answer about how to begin the process of repentance? Yeah? Start reflecting and thinking about what you could have done better. That's what many of us do. But the Reisner Rebbe's answer is a little simpler and more straightforward than that. Yeah, Joel. It's as easy to be good as it is to be sinful. So what does that imply about how we should start to repent? Just do it. Exactly. Don't think about it quite so hard. Yes, reflection is an important part of this day, but don't think so hard about it that it paralyzes you. We can begin the process of repentance as easily as by turning to the person next to us, or to our families, or to our friends or colleagues, and acknowledging that there were moments when we were so absorbed in our own worlds that we failed to see them for who they are, failed to recognize their needs and concerns. That happens to all of us. And once we take that first step, then the path of repentance opens up before us, and we come to recognize the ways that we can improve our own lives. Now, so many of our transgressions, whether they're willful or accidental, involve our words. So let's take a look at text number 3 now. They asked Rabbi Baruch, "Why do we say, 'Blessed be the one who spoke and the world existed,' and not 'blessed be the one who created the world'?" This, by the way, is from that part of the traditional morning service called Pesukei de Zimra. Rabbi Baruch answered, "We praise God because he created our world with the word and not with the thought. God judges the tzaddikim, those who are without sin, for an evil thought they nurse within them. But how could the rank and file of the people survive if God were to judge them in this way, and not as God does, only for an evil thought they have expressed in words?" So what's Rabbi Baruch's teaching about God's judgment of our words and thoughts, and why is that so important for us to know? Yeah?
That he's not really looking at your thoughts, but what you actually utter in your words. So if you can stop yourself saying something wrong, that's what he's saying.
Right. God does not judge us according to our thoughts, but only how we act upon those thoughts. And at this season of the year, more than any other, we're keenly aware of the power of our words to hurt, but also to heal and bring comfort. It's entirely human that we might harbor unkind thoughts. God does not judge us for those. If God did, we might feel unredeemable. God only judges us for how we act on them. To number four, Rabbi Lieb, son of Sarah, said, "I did not go to the Magid in order to hear Torah from him, but to see how he unlaces his shoes and laces them up again." The Magid was the great teacher of his generation. What's Rabbi Lieb's lesson? Yeah, Stuart. It's the basics. Everything else is commentary. It's how we live in the very nitty-gritty details of our lives. Righteousness is manifest in how we live every day, not in our scholarship, but in how we go about living, relating to the people in our worlds. All right, one more. And this text is one of my favorites. It's a little bit dense. It's also about the Magid of Mezrich, who lived in the 18th century and was the first great disciple of the founder of Hasidism, the Baal Shem Tov. So follow with me, number five. The Magid of Mezrich said, "Nothing in the world can change from one reality into another unless it first turns into nothing. That is, into the reality of the between stage. In that stage, it is nothing, and no one can grasp it, for it has reached the rung of nothingness just as before creation. And then it is made into a new creature, from an egg to the chick. The moment when the egg is no more and the chick is not yet is nothingness. And philosophy terms this the primal state, which no one can grasp because it is a force which precedes creation. It is called chaos. It is the same with the sprouting seed. It does not begin to sprout until the seed disintegrates in the earth and the quality of seeddom is destroyed in order that it may attain nothingness, which is the rung before creation. And this rung is called wisdom. That is to say, a thought which cannot be made manifest. Then this thought gives rise to creation, as it is written, 'In wisdom hast thou made them all.'" Okay, I told you that it was a bit dense. So what do you think this one means, and how can this teach us? I'll give you this hint. I think it has to do with what we need to do at this time of the year. So let's break it apart. If we hope to change and grow, how do we need to see ourselves before God? Yeah? We all need to see ourselves as starting with a clean slate at this time of the year. Precisely right. Think about the imagery of the High Holy Days. We speak of God as Malkenu, the mighty sovereign, Before that mighty sovereign, what are we? Nothing. The Magid suggests that in order for us to change and grow, we actually have to see ourselves, if only for this time of the year, as nothing before God. Surely there are other parts of our tradition which talk about the power that we have over our own lives. But for teshuvah, for change, for transformation, we actually need to see ourselves as if we are nothing before God. Okay, the next piece. What needs to happen to the shell of a seed before the seed can sprout? The shell needs to break apart. It needs to disintegrate. So now, what does that suggest about what we need to do? We need to open up? Yeah, we need to open up. There's a beautiful passage in Torah, we actually read it in last week's parashah, about the need for us to circumcise our hearts, the need to break apart the hardening around our heart, just as the shell around the seed breaks apart. Teshuvah requires our willingness to open up, break a hole in those walls which have grown up inside us from a year's worth of disappointments and hurts. Only if we're able to turn over the rocky soil of resentments and unrealized hopes can new dreams be planted there. For many, 5775 was a difficult year. Some of us lost loved ones. Others experienced the loss of health or the health of someone close to them. Some lost jobs. Things did not unfold the way we might have hoped. We pray that the new year will be easier for all of us. A seed does not begin to sprout, the Magid of Mezrich concludes, until it first disintegrates in the ground. But then he reassures us that new possibilities for joy and meaning do begin to poke their way through the earth. So may it be for each of us in 5776. Amen.